you are the license payer, people listening to this. You may support Labour, you may passionately oppose Labour, but you pay, you part with your money, your hard-earned cash, to get a fair and balanced public broadcaster that holds the government to account. The BBC, in this election, its behaviour has been an absolute disgrace. So let's just take this Andrew Neil interview. Andrew Neil has he is the kind of Rottweiler BBC interviewer. Now, would he behave in the way he did with Boris Johnson as he did with Jeremy Corbyn? I don't know. But obviously, as a licence payer in a level playing field, which this election campaign should be, that's what we would expect him to do. And the BBC should have agreed that all political leaders had a date in the diary for that to happen. Now, what they did is they said...
So if one leader doesn't do it, it creates a veto over all of the rest of them, even if they want to do it. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. There needs to be a level playing field. Millions of people watch those interviews. He is the Rottweiler BBC interviewer, and the same standard should be applied to all of our political leaders. They should have the same level of scrutiny applied to them. It's absurd to suggest otherwise. So the BBC agreed, and they made it clear that Boris Johnson would not be able to go on the Andrew Marr show unless he agreed as well to be interviewed by Andrew Neil. And then there was a terrorist attack in which two people were brutally murdered by a terrorist. Now, when terrorism happens, the one thing we do not do is let them interfere in our democracy. We don't let them meddle. But the BBC surrendered to the Conservatives and used that terrorist atrocity to justify giving the Prime Minister a platform to electioneer off the back of it.
Come on, Owen.
No,
you're suggesting that the BBC is using a terrorist incident in order to electioneer. Do you not think that the journalists within the BBC would find that comment offensive? We are the BBC.
Yeah, and you're being very defensive about your corporation's absolutely disgraceful performance during this election. The BBC statement says that because of the terrorist incident, they have rescinded their decision not to allow him to go on the Andrew Marr show unless he does Andrew Neil as
BBC
well.
The BBC statement says they think it's, as the national state broadcaster, they think it is in the public interest to hear from the Prime Minister after the London Bridge attack.
Okay, and the Prime Minister can issue statements, as he has done, about that attack. They have U-turned on providing a platform, which they've refused correctly to provide unless he had the same standards applied to him as the leader of the opposition because of a terrorist attack. Now, I'm just going to make clear what the BBC have done this election. They edited a BBC Question Time clip in which Boris Johnson was ridiculed by the audience and mocked. They erased the laughter. They later said
someone made
a mistake,
Owen, and the BBC apologised for it.
So it's interesting, isn't it, that all the mistakes the BBC have made in this election just coincidentally happen to benefit the government. I'll give you another example, Steve.
Come on, well, hold on one second. Before we move on.
No, we're not going to move on, Stephen, because
the
BBC...
I think I need to have people have a conversation with you now, my friend.
No. The BBC have provided me a platform, a rare platform, in this case, to challenge their behaviour in this election. You are the public broadcaster, which we fund as licence payer funders, and I am going to provide some balance. The other day, the BBC Politics feed literally issued a video of the Prime Minister eating a scone and discussing applying jam to that scone. It was the sort of clip you would expect North Korea's state broadcaster to issue. I'll give you another example. One of your presenters, literally one of your flagship presenters on the BBC Breakfast Show, discussed her experience of racism and was slapped down for having discussed her experience of racism on the basis that was bias. And yet in this election campaign, we have...
And the Director General subsequently overruled that and defended the presenter,
Stephen,
of BBC Breakfast.
And on
the incident before that, Owen, I've got to be able to chat to you now. On the incident before that, that you discussed a matter of moments ago, of the editing of that clip, which the BBC apologised for, Are you seriously suggesting that someone thought that they could deliberately edit something that would go out to millions of people, edit out the laughter, and that no one would notice, and that it would all just carry on?
But that's the
You know that people make mistakes, I make them, and the person that made that mistake, no doubt, is a human being like the rest of us.
So firstly, in the case of Naga Manchetti, that mistake, as you describe it, was rescinded because of huge public outcry. And that's the difference now. Because of social media, people listening to this are able to exercise their voice and challenge the editorial decisions of the BBC in a way they weren't before. And that one example you've just given, and as I've said, it seems very unfortunate that mistakes made by the BBC tend to benefit the government. Like, for example, as we've started this whole conversation with, the fact that Andrew Neil, the flagship Rottweiler interviewer, along with yourself, Stephen, an agreement was made between as happened last time, that political leaders should be subject to the same level of scrutiny by a public broadcaster. That has failed to happen, and the BBC...
The BBC's trying to make it happen.
No. Oh, come off it, Stephen.
Come on. They're urging the Prime Minister. They can't drag him into the studio. They're urging him to take part in the interview. And Andrew... Also point out, Owen, that Andrew Marr's not a pussycat?
So Andrew Marr has a different style of interviewing. I have huge respect for Andrew Marr. I've been on his show several times.
Well, does it sound like it when you're suggesting that he's going to do less of an interview tomorrow?
I think both political leaders should be subject to interviews by Andrew Marr and Andrew Neil with their own very specific different styles of scrutiny and challenging politicians. But what's happening now instead is the BBC said that they would not allow the Prime Minister to have an interview with Andrew Marr, unless he also agreed to do an interview with Andrew Neil. That was the correct decision to allow a level playing field in scrutiny of our political leaders, on which the basis of our democracy should be founded, that our public broadcaster that we fund should subject our political leaders to the level playing field of scrutiny. And because the only reason they have now, the reason they have given for U-turning, for going back on their promise to licence payers, which they will not allow that interview to go forward, is because of a terrorist attack. That is an absurdity. It's outrageous that because a terrorist, and terrorism is about interfering in democracy and literally meddling with our democratic process, that because of that, they are going to U-turn on that decision and allow that interview to take place.
Well,
and
is an alternative view. The alternative view, as you well know, Owen, is that the BBC, and I have not obviously been part of the discussions around their decision-making today, but after that terrorist attack on London Bridge yesterday, there are very legitimate questions of our government as to the sentencing structure, the sentencing policy around this man who was released on licence, about the future safety, about what happened in the Cobra meeting, reassuring the public as to their safety. All of those questions, which the BBC clearly has determined, it is right to give the Prime Minister a platform to talk about after this incident yesterday. You know that.
So let Andrew Neil...
That's not electioneering for the Prime Minister.
Let Andrew Neil interrogate him to the same degree that he interrogated Jeremy Corbyn as the opposition leader on those issues as well. Apply the same approach.
The BBC will do that if the Prime Minister consents.
No, he won't consent now because he has no incentive to. Because the whole point before was, if he was refused a platform by the BBC in this general election, he would obviously have to accept an interview with Andrew Neil. He has no reason to do so. And I'm now going to make this point, Stephen.
Are you telling me Jeremy Corbyn should agree to every interview he's asked to do?
Stephen,
on the Today programme, on other programmes where it seemed to be a heavy interview? Like, where's the threshold here?
In a general election, both political leaders should be interviewed by the two flagship political interviewers of the BBC, Andrew Neil and Andrew Marr.
I think the BBC would probably agree with you, but they can't force him to do it.
Yeah, they can. If they refuse to allow him to be interviewed by Andrew Marr tomorrow, then that would obviously put huge pressure on the Conservatives to accept an interview. And Stephen, I'm now going to make a point which might make me disinvited from every BBC show in the coming weeks, but I'm going to make this very clear. There is a very, very clear link between the Conservative Party hierarchy and the BBC. And I'm going to give an example. David Cameron's head of
communications. You need to be careful, don't you?
No. I'm just going to state some facts now.
Well,
okay?
And you need to be careful. Okay. You're on a live radio programme.
So I'm not going to say anything defamatory. So you can relax in that on that level. I'm just going to state some facts. The head of communications of David Cameron was hired from one of the senior, Craig Oliver, one of the key figures in BBC News. Theresa May's head of communication, Robbie Gibbs, was the former head of BBC Westminster.
And what?
I've not finished. George Osborne's former head of communications recruited from the BBC. Boris Johnson's former head of communications recruited from the BBC.
I'm sorry, in case anybody is drawing any type of inference from what you're saying, shock, horror, people who have experience in the media go on to have senior roles in press organisations. It happens throughout the world, and spinning. Now you're electioneering. I could tell you, I could roll off loads of examples throughout my life, my journalistic career, where people have left journalism, ITV, Channel 4, the BBC, and they've gone on into senior press roles.
What I told you, Stephen, very clearly, is that some of the senior figures in the Tory spinning operation have been recruited from some of the most senior positions of BBC's political coverage. And the fact is, as I've noted, that repeated mistakes by the BBC, which just coincidentally happened to favour the Conservative Party.
The BBC would deny that.
I'm sorry, but that's just an objective reality.
It's subjective. It's your view, and the BBC would deny that. And the BBC is arm's length from any press operation, to the point where the BBC comes under flak from every organisation, every political party that exists, for goodness sake.
The BBC might resent the fact that I've said these mistakes have always benefited the governing party.
That's not true.
But I've given you an examples of them. And this example, I'm sorry, of the BBC making a solemn commitment that Boris Johnson will not be able to have an interview with Andrew Marr. That was the BBC's commitment. That was their promise to their licence payers. They have rescinded that because of a terrorist attack.
Correct.
And the fact is, not correct, Stephen.
Yes, correct. They have taken an event that no one could have foreseen, and they have weighed up the public interest in the Prime Minister being able to address the country about a terrorist incident in which two people died, and some people are wondering about their future safety and the sentencing structure around people who have been convicted of terrorism in the past. And yes, the BBC wants to give the Prime Minister an opportunity to address the nation on that issue. What's the point?
Which is that the leader of the opposition was subject to scrutiny by by Andrew Neil, who is the flagship Rottweiler interviewer of the BBC. And now there's absolutely no reason or any incentive for the Prime Minister to be subject to the same scrutiny, because the main reason the BBC said that he will not be able to be interviewed by Andrew Marr is because they knew that if they stuck to that line, that would mean Boris Johnson was far more likely to cave and to be scrutinised by Andrew Neil. Your listeners, all of our citizens, all of our voters, Conservative, Brexit Party, Lib Dem, Green and Labour and SNP, they all deserve to hear Boris Johnson subject to the same level of scrutiny as the Prime Minister, as the leader of the opposition.
And the public, Owen, can draw, and the public can and will draw their own conclusion, as because Boris Johnson has yet to fix a date with Andrew Neil. They are entitled to draw a conclusion as to whether that means he is running away or whether that means that they think he's right. They're entitled to that conclusion. For example, Lord Michael Grade, a very experienced former chairman of the BBC, who is saying no journalist is entitled to force these people or expect them to come into an interview. And empty chairing people is a disgrace, he said. He said it tonight in this programme.
I mean, all he's saying is that the BBC will not subject politicians to the same level of scrutiny. Otherwise, look, and I have to make this very, very clear. This is absolutely critical, because there are questions the Prime Minister has to answer. Why did he say to a senior barrister that when they said that freeing terrorists was a threat to people's security, and he said to them there was no money to de-radicalize them, for example, which has just come out tonight? These are questions you have to answer. But I'm going to ask you a very, very straightforward question now, Stephen. Do you accept that the BBC said that Boris Johnson would not be able to have an interview with Andrew Marr until he accepts an interview with Andrew Neil? The reason for that is they knew that would put pressure on him to accept that. And do you now accept that because they have U-turned on that, Boris Johnson is far, far, far less likely to accept an interview with Andrew Neil? Do you accept that? And this is a yes or no question, which you need to answer. Well, as someone who works for the BBC.
I don't need to answer anything, I don't need to answer, Owen. I'm here to facilitate a discussion and get opinions from people like you and facilitate debate. It doesn't matter what I think.
So all the people listening to this know, as a fact, that because the BBC have U-turned on their decision in the wake of a terrorist attack, that as a consequence, Boris Johnson is far, far, far less likely to accept an interview with Andrew Neil.
Do you not think? There's no incentive.
And you, it doesn't matter what you're saying.
I don't think this needs to be so combative between the two of us today, Owen. Do you not think that, look, you're campaigning for Labour. Clearly, we know what you're about and you're entitled to do so. Do you not think you should be keeping your energy and your ire for Boris Johnson? And reminding people that he's not doing the interview and asking people to determine what they think based on that. Is it really for the BBC to take all of the flack for this? And you just happen to mention that Boris Johnson isn't turning up for that interview so far. What about the fact that he's not agreeing to do it? Do you think that will damage Boris Johnson?
Is Boris Johnson a coward? Yes. Is he a wimp? Yes. Is he avoiding scrutiny? Yes, absolutely. But this is the nub of the issue. And the way you just described, I'm campaigning for Labour, I support Labour, I'm open about that. And the difference is, and this is why this is so important about what the BBC have done, the vast majority of the British press, editorially, don't just support the Conservatives, a little bit, or slightly, but in a militant way. The Sun, the Mail, the Telegraph, the Times, the Express, they are acting as the campaigning organisations of the Conservative Party. Every day, front pages delivered to millions of people in this country support the Conservatives. And we have one institution which licensed payers across this country part with their hard-earned cash. Maybe they work in supermarkets. Maybe they work in offices. Maybe they're cleaners. But they part with that money because they expect a public broadcaster to apply equal scrutiny in a country where the vast majority of the press support the governing party. And in a situation like this, where our public broadcaster, which you, the British public, part with your money on the basis of literally giving some basic balance in our democracy, where they fail to apply equal scrutiny to the leader of the opposition.
And they're doing their best to apply that scrutiny.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not. The BBC in this situation. And I have to say, what's so outrageous
and do you not think Andrew Marr is going to grill Boris Johnson tomorrow? You say you respect Andrew. So clearly he is going to try to hold the Prime Minister to account tomorrow. Well, yes, it's not Andrew Neil, but it's Andrew Marr. And he is one of our flagship journalists.
It will be a career-determining interview for Andrew Marr. I don't think anyone can conclude otherwise. Andrew Marr has a different approach to Andrew Neil. They are the two flagship interviewers, and the British public expect that both opposition party leader, sorry, both parties, the opposition and the government, are subject to scrutiny from both. And that's all people are talking about. We're not asking for much as licence payers. And the fact is now that Jeremy Corbyn was subject to a Rottweiler interview by Andrew Neil, and that is his right. That's what he did. I have many disagreements with Andrew Neil, which I've vocally expressed in the past, and I would hope he would apply the same approach to the Prime Minister. But the British people are now going to be deprived of that because there's absolutely no incentive, none, zilch, zero now for the Prime Minister to accept this. And he should be, of course, attacked as a coward and a wimp for fleeing that basic scrutiny of what he has done his record of racism and bigotry and all the rest, of standing up for the rich and the elites. Of course he should be scrutinised for that. But the fact is that licensed payers who part with their hard-earned cash expect a level playing field in a democracy. And I've gone to places like Hungary, which is a state in Europe where you have a press which overwhelmingly supports the government and a state media which is weighted towards the government. And that is how democracy dies. You can't have a situation where our publicly funded broadcaster does not apply the same treatment to our prominent politicians.
I think I've known you for over 10 years now. You've been coming on and off this programme. You're on and off a lot of BBC programmes. When you walk into the BBC and you talk to journalists like me and others, because when you talk about the BBC, that's what you're doing. We're not some type of abstract thing, some abstract entity. We are people working in an organisation. Are you seriously suggesting that we all have a bias towards the government? Is that what you're seriously suggesting? Because the BBC is made up of people, and those people are trying to do a job, and you're questioning our integrity when you question the impartiality of the BBC.
As licence payers, we have the right to challenge.
You do,
the BBC.
But it's got to be based on some type of fact. And when you talk about the BBC, you question our integrity.
I've listed the facts. And what's happened is, and your viewers, and I know
But it's partial facts, isn't it, Owen? Because you're well-versed. You're a very knowledgeable guy. So when you chose the people to cite to the audience tonight who went on from the BBC to go into government, you didn't mention people like Lance Price, for example, who was a journalist for the BBC and then became a special advisor to the Labour Prime Minister, Tony Blair. You know of all of those examples, but you didn't quote them. So you take partial information and then you try to present this organisation as being favourable to the government. And I would just put it to you one more time that this organisation is made up of a lot of journalists who you know and you respect. You tell me Andrew Marr or Andrew Neil wouldn't be grilling the Prime Minister in an impartial way. Yes, you do think they would. That's why you want them to sit in front of them. So who are you talking about when you suggest that we're not impartial?
So the twofold thing, I'm fascinated as ever by a hugely defensive reaction. Again, you are our servants. You exist.
I'm doing my job.
Serve...
I'm not being defensive at all. I'm doing my job.
You exist to serve the licensed payers. Firstly, the people I'm talking about who became spin doctors for the Conservatives are not just random journalists at the BBC. They were people in charge of the output. Many people might have watched the Daily Politics or Politics Live. The person in charge of that and the entire Westminster coverage of the BBC ended up the spin doctor for the entire
government. And he was entitled to apply for a job and get it, and there's no sense of impropriety around that whatsoever. None.
Well, I'm just pointing out the relationship, the revolving door that exists. And the second point I would make is, and this is something your listeners need to be aware of, and I've been on many a BBC programme. We'll see how many I'm invited to after this. Senior BBC journalists have put it to me that because of government threats about cutting the BBC budget over the licence fee and the constant threat of privatisation, that has been a disciplining action.
You really believe that, do you?
No. It's not about what I believe.
Yes, it is, because you're citing it tonight.
No.
You really believe that.
What I'm told by senior BBC figures is that the threat that exists from the government as regards the BBC, as regards the licence fee, and as regards privatisation has been a disciplining act, if you like, which has left the BBC ever more supine. And New Labour was guilty of this, by the way. We saw what happened, for example, during the Iraq War and the resignations of senior staff. I'm not saying it's just specific to the Conservatives, but the constant sword of Damocles hanging over the BBC by the British Conservative government has led the BBC to become supine and cowardly in scrutinising the government. And
well,
we've seen this by the U-turning of the BBC on this particular interview, and people should be ashamed at the top of the BBC. I put it to you again,
Owen, that when you describe the BBC as cowardly, you're describing journalists within the BBC as cards, because the BBC is not an abstract entity. It is made up of people. It is made up of some of the finest journalists in the world, as are journalists in ITV and the newspapers across this country, some of whom have risked their lives to bring journalistic stories to the public domain. And when you call the BBC cardly, you're talking about the people within it being cards. And I will put it to you that we are not.
There are many fine journalists at the BBC and elsewhere, but there's a systemic problem. This is about what is chosen at editorial levels. I'm not talking actually often about journalists on the grounds. You know, journalists, Andrew Neil would love, I'm sure, to interview Boris Johnson. He would relish it. I'm sure he'd regard it as one of the high points of his career. And I speak as a longtime critic of Andrew Neil. The issue is decisions made by management and people in senior editorial positions at the BBC. And they have intervened in our democracy by deciding to respond to a terrorist attack by U-turning on their decision not to allow Boris Johnson to go on the Andrew Marr show unless he accepts the same level of scrutiny that the leader of the opposition has also accepted as regards being interviewed. And there's nothing you can say which, again, contradicts the fact that in this election, the leader of the opposition and the Prime Minister will not be subject to the same level of scrutiny on the BBC as each other. That's a fact, and there's nothing that can be said to alter that fact.
I really appreciate you coming on tonight, Owen, and you've certainly stimulated a big debate on the phones tonight. We're going to take calls straight after this. Thank you very much indeed, Owen. Lovely to talk to you, mate. Thank you.
You as well.